Hey, I have a question for you. Are you struggling to stand firm in your faith, push through tough times, or make a difficult decision? Well, you're in the right place. Because today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a powerful series called Uncommon Courage. And in this series, you'll discover how to stand boldly for the truth, persevere through challenges, and step out in faith. Please don't miss a single day of Daily Hope, because the courage you need starts with God. All right, so let's jump right in with part two of a message called The Courage to Keep Going.
Some of the best advice I got many years ago, my dad said this to me. He may have read it somewhere, but it's really stuck with me. He said, son, there's going to be things in life you don't understand, and they're not going to make sense. And you're going to have all kinds of questions. What you need to do is create a ask God later file in your brain. And you need to plug those questions there. Because there are going to be things that just don't make sense. And you want to go, why God, why? But they aren't going to be answered now. So you just need to create a doesn't make sense file. A I don't understand it file. A God, I'm going to ask you about this later file. And every time you get one of those unanswerable questions, you just park it there and you leave it and you let it go and you get on with your life and you do the best you can with what you have for Jesus Christ today. Profound advice. Just park it in the I don't understand file. You see, sometimes you pray about something and you want it so badly. Your heart is about to break. You're going, God, I've invested my entire life savings in this business. And I want it to work, but it doesn't work. And sometimes you say, God, I so badly want to get married, but it hadn't happened. And God, I have a baby, but it hasn't happened. And God, and sometimes you want so badly. And you pray about it, 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 but you don't get what you want. And in that moment, you are tempted to doubt God, to doubt His promises, and to doubt the efficacy of prayer. That's normal. Even Job doubted the efficacy of prayer. You say, he did? Yeah, he did. Look at the next verse. Job 21:15. Who is the Almighty, and why should we obey Him? This is a guy in deep pain. What good is it if we pray? He's saying, why, God, why? Now, sometimes you pray, and when you don't get what you want, it feels like God has let you down, and you're disappointed, and you make an illogical jump, and you say, well, God just doesn't love me. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. You will never understand how much God loves you. He will never love you any more or less than He does right now. And as I've said many times, you can't make God stop loving you. You can rail at Him, but He's not going to stop loving you because God is love. And we always get into trouble when we doubt God's love. What I need to do, instead of asking why, is I need to take step four. Trust God in things I don't understand. That's step four. I stop asking why, because I'm not going to find the answer now, and I trust God in things I don't understand. Now, the fact is, God always answers prayer. Always, 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 always answer prayer. He doesn't always answer yes. He doesn't always answer the way I wish. In fact, there are hundreds of ways God can answer your prayers besides yes. Sometimes God answers a prayer with yes. Sometimes God answers a prayer with no. Sometimes God answers a prayer with not yet. Sometimes God answers a prayer with wait. Sometimes God answers a prayer with, you got to be kidding me. Sometimes God answers a prayer with, you be the answer. I mean, go out and you be the answer. I mean, you say, God, I need a lot of money. And God says, go get a job. God, I want to get married. Well, get out there and meet some people. God's not going to drop a man just out of heaven. He might smash you. Sometimes God says, you be the answer. Sometimes God says, trust me. You're not going to know on this one. Just trust me. So there are lots of different ways that God answers prayer. Now, for 37 chapters in the book of Job, Job is asking the why question. Why, God? Why is this happening to me? Why are you allowing this? Why so much pain? Why so much discomfort? Why haven't you answered my prayers? Why do you, why? And in chapter 8, Job stops asking why, and God says, okay, hang on, Job. I'd like to ask you a few questions. And for the next two chapters, chapter 38 and chapter 39, God barrages Job with questions that only God can answer. He says, like, where were you when I made the universe? Can you explain the law of gravity? You know, that kind of stuff. Do you understand why the sun is hot? And for two chapters, God answers, asks questions that obviously only God could answer. And Job realizes after two chapters of listening to God's question to him, who am I to be questioning God? I mean, really, I'm just a man. My knowledge is limited. I can't see it all. My brain capacity is too small. If you could understand why God does everything he does in your life, you'd be God, but you're not. And for me to try to understand the ways of God in the world is like an ant trying to understand the internet. No matter how hard that ant tries, he's not going to understand the internet. There is no way that a finite human is going to understand an infinite God. You don't have the capacity. So there's some things I just have to trust God for. I don't understand them. They don't make sense. I'm filing it in the Ask God Later file, but I'm going to trust God in the things I don't understand. So Job goes, my knowledge is limited. I can't see it all. My brain capacity is too small. I'm just a man. So he stops questioning, and he starts trusting. Job 42, 1 to 3 and verse 6. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, God, and I know that no one can stop you. You're sovereign and you're omnipotent. You, God, ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? Job's doing a little internal conversation here. He says, God, I can imagine you saying, who is this guy that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? And Job admits, it is I. I was talking about things I did not understand, things far too wonderful for me. God, I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Job says, I was talking about things I didn't understand. This situation's way over my head. It's above my pay grade. I don't have the capacity to understand the ways and the wisdom of God. I'm sorry. I repent. I was wrong. I should just trust you in this. Now, what do you do when you're in a situation that you don't see what God sees? You can't see the whole picture. Things aren't clear, and it makes no sense at all to you what's happening. What do you do in that situation? You remind yourself of the things about God that you do know, that you know for certain, that you can rely on, and you publicly affirm what you do know in the midst of all the things that you don't know and you don't understand. And this is exactly what Job does throughout the entire book. I just wrote a few of them down there on your outline. Job reminds himself, he says, I know that God is good, and I know that God is loving. Job chapter 10. He says, I know that God is all-powerful. He says, I notice that God notices every detail of my life. I know that for sure. I know that God is in control. I know that God has a plan for my life, and I know that God will protect me. He affirms in the middle of his doubts the stuff he does know to be true. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now, and you may not feel it, but I will tell you this. God is passionately and intimately aware of every detail in your life that you're going through right now. And he's paying attention to every breath and every burp in your life. Nothing misses God's attention because God is complete love and he made you to love you and he notices everything in your life. So even though Job doesn't understand what's going on, he makes these affirmations of faith, and you need to do this. I know you're good. I know you're loving. I know you're powerful. I know you notice the details of my life. I know you're in control. I know you have a plan. I know you will protect me. And after making all these affirmations, Job comes to the decision, I'm going to trust God no matter what. I may not understand it, but I'm going to trust God no matter what. Look at this next verse. Job says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Whoa. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, God, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust you. God, if you kill me, I'm still going to trust you. If you end my life, I'm still going to trust you. Have you come to that maturity in your faith? Are you just still a spiritual baby and you can only trust God when things go good in your life? The ultimate test of faith is, God, I don't understand it all, but I know you're a good God, and even if you let me die, I'm going to trust you. Because I wasn't made for this life anyway. I was made for heaven. You know, there's a phrase that has helped me a lot as I deal with senseless tragedies, and I see them all the time as your pastor, because I'm hearing what's going on in your life and in your life and in your life, and I see it all the time. And one of the things I've just come to say in my mind as I say this, it's all a part of the plan. It's all a part of the plan. That's a good thing to remember. It's all a part of the plan. It's not all good. And God doesn't cause it. God doesn't cause sin. If I went out here and got drunk and got in an accident and hurt somebody, that would not be God's will. It would not be God causing it. But you know what? God says, I'm even bigger than your sin. I'm bigger than your mistakes. I'm greater than your faux pas and faults and stupid decisions. And you know what? I'll even fit that into the plan for good. Somebody who's had to deal with the why questions and had to deal with trusting God when it didn't make sense is Pastor Eric and Stacy. Would you give them a warm welcome as they come and tell their story?
We would like to share with you how God is helping us press on when life hurts and you feel hopeless. Our lives forever changed on March 3rd, 2011, when we were told that our healthy, active, beautiful, and caring 11-year-old daughter, Jessie, had a brain tumor. It was not just a brain tumor, but one that was inoperable and incurable because it was in her brain stem. The doctors gave us 12 to 18 months and told us to make the most of the days that we had with Jess. Truly the worst news any parent would ever be told. This news brought immense waves of pain, confusion, worry, and fear at hurricane forces into our lives. We felt so vulnerable and helpless. Parents are supposed to make boo-boos go away, but this one was out of our control. After days and days of research and getting over 30 second opinions, hope was fading away super fast. Less than 150 kids get this tumor a year. Researchers had spent 30 years trying to cure it, and less than 1% of the kids live past 5 years. We chose to focus on that 1%. We had hope because we believe that God is in the miracle business. I even thought my years of ministry and pastoral service to his church would somehow gain our prayers some special type of treatment. We begged God to heal Jessie. We pleaded with God to heal Jessie. I even negotiated with him. We were so, so desperate.
All of this was going on inside of us while we did our best to remain positive with Jessie and her big sister Shea and little brother JT. Jessie knew she had a tough tumor, but we chose to focus on hope. If you lose hope, you have nothing. So we focused on the hope Jessie could be one of those kids that make it 5 years or maybe even longer. Surely God would hear our prayers and pleas. Jessie started treatment in April of 2011, which consisted of 30 rounds of radiation, followed by daily chemo and a ton of other meds. The radiation would cause Jessie to feel extremely tired and caused her little toned muscular body to become weak. She no longer could run upstairs to play Legos with her brother. Rather, piggyback rides became a way of transport. She did a good job dealing with how the chemo made her feel, but it was so hard to see her wavy blonde hair fall out. She'd so desperately wanted to be normal again. Every time we went to Children's Hospital of Orange County, we prayed as a family in the car, asking God to give Jessie strength and courage to face the treatment. She was such a trooper. She listened to Healer by Carrie Job and Move by Mercy Me during her radiation treatments. As soon as the nurses would come get her, we would just hug and cry and pray for our sweet pea. We wanted so desperately to take it all away.
We had hoped that it was all just a big, bad dream. The truth was, a train headed to heaven was coming, and Jess had a seat on it. We had no idea when it was going to arrive, but all the data was telling us that it would sooner or later stop for her. We still prayed and prayed countless times a day. Many of you ushered prayers to God on our behalf. The tens of thousands of people following Jessie's journey on Facebook were praying also. Our daily goal was quite simple. Hold on to God, hold on to each other, and hold on to Jess as long as we could. So for the next few months, we pressed on by holding on. The shining light in the storm was actually Jessie herself. Her smile, her hugs, her belly laughs, her spirit to press on and trust God herself. Jess clung to Philippians 4:13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength I need." All meant beat cancer.
Her desire to help others was unexplainable. See, Jessie asked us if she could help the other boys and girls that had to stay in the hospital for their treatment plans. She didn't like the idea that other kids didn't get to go home for treatment. So we created her Joy Jars. Joy was Jessie's middle name, and it went great with jars. Jessie loved to stuff her Joy Jars with new toys and activities and take them to the hospital for other kids. Soon she was getting requests from all around the world for her Joy Jars. She stuffed and sent out over 3,000 herself. Her compassion for others really became a great distraction from the daily grind of treatment and feeling alone. She also chose to blog about her journey in very transparent ways on her Facebook fan page. A fan page that she used to encourage other kids fighting cancer to NEGU. N-E-G-U, which stands for Never Ever Give Up. NEGU was her little motto and message to others. The great thing about Facebook was it allowed tens of thousands of people from all around the world to pray for and encourage Jessie. Many of you sent notes of encouragement, and we want to thank you for that. She read every one of them. Then, on September 18th, 2011, an MRI showed Jessie had a second tumor. All of the millions of prayers didn't get answered. All of the pleading didn't work. All of the fears were back stronger than ever. God didn't heal our sweet pea. Why not? Why would he choose to let Jessie suffer more?
When this news came, I got really mad at God. Really mad. I vented like never before because he had the power
to heal Jess, and he was choosing not to. After my month-long self-made pity party, I came to the realization that God didn't owe me an answer. All Stacy and I could do was trust. So we pressed on and got Jesse 10 more rounds of radiation, plus a new chemo that needed to be administered with an IV this time. This was not the greatest news, as Jess hated needles, but by this time she had been poked over 100 times from her weekly labs and tests. This news also caused us to have more serious talks with Jesse about heaven. Jesse understood she could die, but chose to press on and enjoyed life the best she could. And we just followed her never ever give up spirit. Then at 4:30 a.m. on January 5th of this year, Stacy woke me up and told me she couldn't wake Jess. Was this the day the trade was going to stop? We weren't ready for it. It had only been 10 months, and the doctors said 12 to 18. What was happening? Did they lie to us? Was God trying to punish us? Was God trying to teach us some life lesson? It was all so confusing. When I got to Jesse, I could tell something was not right. She was very lethargic. So we called the palliative care team, and based off of our diagnosis, they asked us to call all of our extended family. By 6 a.m., the nurses had arrived, given Jesse more meds, and got oxygen flowing to comfort her body. Thankfully, Jesse was in no pain, but we sure were. Our hearts were being ripped out, and we couldn't stop it. God clearly was not going to heal Jess here on earth. He had his reasons and purposes, but we had no idea what they might be. Then the nurse asked me to pray for Jesse. I thought, what do I pray? God had not answered all of my prayers to heal her. But then this peace came over me as I verbally and mentally surrendered my daughter to the loving hands of her heavenly Father. That day we realized, like never before, that although we loved Jesse deeply as her earthly parents, her heavenly Father loved her even more than we did. Then at 7 a.m. we woke up Shay and JT to tell them that Jesse was going to heaven this day. Seeing the hurt and fear on their faces added more and more pain. It just didn't seem fair. Finally, at 11:10 a.m. on January 5th, 2012, Jess joined our Heavenly Father. No more cancer, no more pain, no more suffering.
We were so honored to have over 9,000 people watch her celebration of life service. And close to 300 people gave their lives to God that day. The last 8+ months have been a roller coaster of emotion. We're defining a new normal for our family. As Pastor Rick always says, you don't get over grief, you get through it. It's true. We have our ups and downs. Our hearts still hurt. Some days are good and some not so good. But slowly we're healing as we press on one day at a time, trusting God for what we do not understand. There are many questions we have for God, but we've placed them in our Talk to God file.
One thing we have learned over the past year and a half is that the only way we can press on is to be authentic with our feelings, trust God, lean on our family and our friends and our small group, be grateful for what we still do have, and keep moving forward. Jesse's motto has become our motto: never ever give up on God. We all have a choice to every day to be bitter or better. Stacy and I want to be better. And we pray that no matter what happens in your life, you too will choose to let it make you better and not bitter. Thank you, and God bless.
You may be thinking, where was God when my loved one died? The same place he was when his son died on the cross for you. When his son was dying for your sins so you could go to heaven. He was grieving. He was weeping. He was sorrowing over the brokenness of this planet because of sin. And now nothing works right. But you weren't made to live forever on this planet. No, no, you were made for something far more. This is just a stopover place. You weren't made to live on earth forever. You ought to thank God you're not going to live on earth forever. With all the sorrow and suffering and sickness and illness and sin and abuse and perversion and war and crime and hatred and all of the evil that's in this world, you ought to thank God you're not going to live forever on this planet. You were made for so much more. But you need a Savior. As I've said many, many times, if you didn't need a Savior, God wouldn't have sent Jesus at Christmas. For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. If you could get into heaven without Jesus Christ dying for your sins, believe me, Jesus wouldn't have wasted his blood and God wouldn't have wasted his son. There's no other way. You need a Savior. I don't know what you're going through, but you need to do these steps. You need to just be gut-level honest with God and tell him exactly how you feel. He can handle it. You need to involve other people in your life, godly, good people. Get a small group. Get some support system. And let other people help you. Humble yourself and receive help. Stop asking why. File it in the doesn't make sense file. And start trusting God in all the things you don't understand.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart. That's worship. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's ministry. That's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you. That's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow Him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.